This podcast was made possible by Hot Source Yoga. Hot Source Yoga is by far our favorite yoga studio, featuring a variety of hot yoga and hot Pilates classes, and they even offer childcare. Seriously, we feel like $1 million after these classes. They also offer a 30-hour hot Pilates teacher training online, so you can get certified from the comfort of your own home.
The founder, Nicole, is so inspiring. She's a life coach miracle worker who has helped hundreds of women and girls empower themselves to make their dreams a reality. Nicole offers sessions in person or online. Ready to make your own dreams come true? Use code SHAMELESS for $20 off your first coaching session at NicoleDuke.com. And be sure to visit HotSourceYogaStudio.com to see why it's our latest obsession. I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody out there.
This episode has the best title ever.
Yeah, it does.
How to suck dick like a boss.
Yeah.
I just get excited saying that.
I wanna suck dick like a boss.
Like a boss.
Like a boss.
Our top episode ever in the history of Shrimp Sex is How to Eat Pussy Like a Champ with Dr. Allison Ash. Not only is she brilliant, but the title is brilliant. If you haven't listened to the episode, go check it out. And this one is with a different educator, Tayomi. And yeah, we're talking all about sucking dick like a motherfucking boss.
She's great. She's awesome. Guest, mm-hmm. So
you're gonna learn some things. We learn some things, and you can never know too much about how to pleasure a penis or vulva or all the in betweens.
This is a spicy ass episode.
And if you don't suck dick, but maybe you have a dick, then you could learn some things too, because there's plenty of info for you as well.
Yeah, if you're a penis owner or a penis lover or a penis admirer,
yes,
this is your.
I recently heard a penis haver.
If you're a penis haver, a penis taker, or a penis,
I take
penis
penises.
Deliverer. I deliver my penis to you now.
And we originally were like, should we call it How to Eat Dick Like a Boss? But something about eating dick
doesn't sound nice. When you're like, eat a dick to someone, that doesn't sound nice.
But we say eat pussy.
Yeah, because you're kind of.
You don't really suck the pussy, though.
But you like use your mouth, your head more with a dick.
She's doing like a head bob thing right now on the microphone, which is very phallic.
Which is why we should answer a sex question, right?
We're going to answer a sex question. Ooh. Hell yeah. Okay, this sex question is from someone who said we could use their name because they're shameless.
Ooh.
Her name is Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia,
hey,
for writing
Alicia.
Us the question.
Alicia says, I'm a 25-year-old female and my partner is a 35-year-old male. I have a very high sex drive and my partner's has declined over the years. We have discussed him talking to a doctor about testosterone levels and maybe getting that sorted. We have taken lots of your advice and try to meet each other in the middle at 2 or 3 times a week of sexy play. However, my partner says he feels a lot of pressure to get me off, and sometimes this affects his sex drive. I have assured him that I just like connecting with him and that my pleasure is my responsibility. Shout out to the magic wand. We love the magic wand. The issue is that if my partner finishes first, he mentally and physically cannot do any more playtime. He says he is so tired and mentally does not wish to continue playing, though he does feel guilty if he can't get me off. This is frustrating for me because then I'm left feeling very horny and a bit sad, dissatisfied. I usually orgasm first about 85% of the time, so this isn't super common. If we do go almost a week without sex and then he finishes really early, I get disappointed and desperately want to play, but he says he can't. How do we break this cycle?
I, of course, in our classic shameless sex style of answering questions, I have another question for this listener, Alicia.
Question. That's like, as to be expected.
So, yes, testosterone and hormone levels could be a thing, and definitely some kind of blood panel would be great to do for this for your partner. Also, it's really important for erections. I read this whole study, and I won't quote the study at the moment, but diet and exercise are a huge part of your sexuality. And the more kind of vital you are, the easier it is for some folks. And this is obviously, there's a lot of dependence. If I don't know if they're on any medications that could be affecting sex drive, but diet and exercise, if they're not on any medication, are huge, huge pieces of the puzzle to lack of sex drive. They really are. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, and I'll try to remember, maybe at a later episode, what the exact study was. It was significant though for folks that actually practice just even some sort of, healthy, it didn't have to be tons of exercise. You don't have to be a gym rat, like, you know, 2 hours a day.
It was like walking for
just walking for 30 minutes.
Something.
It increases their levels of dopamine, and it can increase your sex drive. So that is my question. If they are a completely healthy 35-year-old human that isn't on a lot of medications, the hormone thing could be, it could be a piece of it. And I'll let Amy, the sexuality guru over here, tap into some other things. That's just my few thoughts that I wanted to share.
Well, yeah, I like what you said about that. That, you know, is the person on medications? Are they, you know, suffer, they have depression and or anxiety? Are there other things going on? What is that? Yeah, diet, exercise. I think those are all really important factors to look at. And it's hard to tell on our end, is it a physical thing? You know, is it the actual body has, doesn't have a lot of this hormone that is supposed to help them have a high sex drive? Or is it emotional thing that is more related to being in a long-term relationship? They've been in a long-term relationship here. We often hear about this in the reverse, but this, in heterosexual relationships, this can happen where the men have a higher sex drive than the women, and that eventually over time,
or vice versa.
Vice versa, but we usually hear it in the reverse, right? We
yes.
usually hear about it with often with women not want, we do on our end.
Yes.
The emails that we get,
right.
Like, my husband has a higher sex drive than I do, but there's not a complete truth. That happens to all types of folks in long-term relationships. Shifts things in terms of how we habituate and acclimate to our partner. So yeah,
it's, we're creatures that love change and
yes,
evolution,
but we also love safety.
Yes. Yeah.
We get excited by change and variety. And yet we also like safety. And Esther Perel has done so much work around this. We talk about her all the time. Can't wait to have her on our show someday.
That's a good recommendation for these two.
Mating in Captivity.
Yes.
That's her book. Yeah. And she has a lot of, she has some TED Talks, and she has an Audible series. Where should we begin?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's incredible and talks a lot about what the shifts in long-term relationships. And none of it is really about hormones, right? The hormone thing, like April said, a great thing to go get checked. And, you know, honestly, I think everyone should go and get at some point if you're in your, you know, 30s and 40s.
I just got checked because I'm such a crazy bitch right before my period.
You have a shit ton of testosterone on your body, don't you?
No, I'm perfectly hormonally balanced.
Oh.
I'm just a cunt right before my period. I was like, say what?
Yeah.
So anyway, not to interrupt your share,
say
but
what?
You
were expecting to hear
I
that
was
it was not your fault.
To have a ton of testosterone, like raging through my system. Oh no, I'm totally balanced. And that's why I said to my naturopath, I was like, why am I such a bitch right before? My PMS is so bad because I just am so easily triggered.
You're just a bitch.
No, she said that I can do these glutathione pushes that will help balance some of the whatever toxins are raging through my system. So anyway, it's important though for everyone, I think, to get, especially when you hit your mid-30s, you do tend to have shifts, and testosterone droppage could be a part of why you're not feeling sexual to your partner.
And so this person is asking specifically about cycles. So yeah, go get testosterone levels checked out, et cetera. And everyone, if you've never done that and you were, you know, 30 and up, it's really insightful. And they don't just test for hormones. You can get all kinds of things like red blood cell count or something.
Liver toxicity levels.
Thyroid.
They test for diabetes. Genetics.
Yeah.
They test for cholesterol.
Yeah.
They test for heart disease. I don't know, all sorts of things.
I'm slightly anemic.
I had
low blood pressure.
I had something with my liver that was weird, but that was it.
The wine.
I was like, damn it. Part of my liver, the quarter quadrant is totally wine.
So coming back to the second part of the question, though, which I think seems what this person's really asking about, though, is this whole cycle of your partner feeling pressure to get you off. So there's this idea, and then you're saying, you know, I'm just happy to play with you. I don't need orgasm. And so what you're more frustrated about is, I'm a little confused, right? I'm reading that you say the things that I'm just happy to connect with him. My pleasure is my responsibility, but you are still getting frustrated, but you're getting more so frustrated that just that when he orgasms, he's actually just done entirely. So my question for you is, are you, even though you're saying I'm just happy to play with you, it's all good, I'm responsible for my own pleasure, do you really not believe that, though, if you're actually still getting frustrated and disappointed when you don't have the orgasm? And so there really is this kind of underlying pressure there. Or are you just actually really dissatisfied and disappointed because they actually are all of a sudden are like, I can't play anymore, which I would be bummed about. I'd be like, you know, it doesn't have to be about the orgasm, but just because my person has an orgasm and then they're just like, oh, I'm done, and it's all about them, and there's not any availability for them to even just use their, you know, their fingers or their mouths or a vibrator on me. Like, maybe their cock is off the table. That's totally fine.
It happens quite often where my partner finishes first and I'm like, hey, can we still play? And he's like, of course, just give me 1 second. I'm going to go wash off my hands and let's get down to it.
Yeah. Like, yay. So, and I'm not reading here too. It says that he's tired. He does not want you to continue playing. He's too tired. Is this just about using his cock too tired, or is this about everything? Like he won't even use his hands and mouth.
That's why I came to the exercise and diet piece, because if he's exhausted, that's what I first thought. I was like, oh, he's totally exhausted and can't.
But you can be exhausted and just lay there and still pleasure someone. He can lay on his back and you can hover your pussy over his mouth. He can lay on his back and he can still use a hand on you. You know, he barely has to do anything.
He could hold a toy inside of you. And
so we are needing a little more clarity here as to exactly what you're talking about. And there's a lot of questions we have here for you, but to get clear, is there an underlying pressure for it to be all about orgasm? And if that is the case, then that's a lot of pressure for both of you, and to get away from that. But if there's just some spaciousness for it to just be about more connection and touch and orgasm as the bonus, and you know, hands and mouths or fingers,
head, shoulders, knees and toes,
and heads and shoulders and all the above, and fists are okay. But he's still not on board with that. Then this is a big conversation to have between the two of you, and you two really convey how you feel about this. You know, that, you know, I feel, you know, abandoned, or I feel what you're saying, dissatisfied. I get frustrated. I don't want to be frustrated with you. I know that I really, you know, I'm happy that you had an orgasm, and it doesn't have to be about orgasm for me, but I want to continue connecting with you, even when you don't have an orgasm. You know, here are all the things we can do. Can you get on board with this with me? And hopefully he can, but, it sounds like a deeper conversation between the two of you. So good luck to you. Alicia, we love you. Thank you for saying we can use your name. You're shameless.
Yeah.
You're awesome. All right. Are you ready for a bio?
I'm ready.
And then we're going to dive.
It's an impressive bio.
It's a very impressive bio. Actually shortened it because she has done so much. She's been all over, like all the places that she's been on TV.
You can read the full bio on our website.
On our website. And I also just want to let everyone know, if you're listening right now and we now, for the last month or two, we start putting in our show notes, we say when the interview is going to start. So if you're sick of hearing us answering sex questions and talking about our own personal adventures with sucking dick and April's anal adventures, et cetera, you can always fast forward to the interview, and that is in the show notes. So you're welcome. And here's the bio. Sexpert Tyomi, better known as Glamazon Tyomi, is an international pleasure coach who reaches millions of eyes monthly through her social media platforms and written contributions across the internet. Tyomi has served as the resident sexpert for Ebony.com and BlackDoctor.com, hosted her own radio show on Playboy Radio, was featured on Comedy Central's Tosh.0, as well as published in the Huffington Post, New York Mags, The Cut, Essence.com, AskMen.com, Shape.com, Vice.com, The Washington Post, and so much more. To learn more, visit sexperttayomi.glamerotica101.com. I think you can also just go to glamerotica101.com. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, go to our show notes and you can click on the link there. This is an episode you do not want to miss unless you absolutely hate the dick.
No, even then.
What should... if you hate the dick?
Well, it's still a great episode and full of entertainment.
Well, all right, then let's dive in.
Let's do it.
But first...
This podcast is made possible by Manscaped. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for you or your man's family jewels. Ever try going down on your man only to feel like you are spending more time pulling hair out of your teeth than focusing on the skin-on-skin contact? No thank you. Enter Manscaped's Electric Trimmer, the Lawnmower 2.0, designed specifically for a man's below-the-belt grooming. I personally find grooming super sexy, and the Lawnmower 2.0 is fabulous at getting everything clean and pristine.
Let's talk about sweaty balls. Yeah, sweaty balls happen, but that doesn't entice me to get my mouth close to your nuts. That's why Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. Penis owners, it's time to step up your game. And to get you started, our listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHAMELESS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code SHAMELESS. Your bits will thank you for it. All right, everyone, it's episode time. I'm sure you're all very excited to listen to this episode. We have done past episodes on Oral Sex 101 with various folks, just sometimes ourselves, sometimes with guests. And you can never know too much about this stuff. Everyone has different techniques, different ideas, different experiences. And we are all the April and I are students as well. So we are excited to learn more because I certainly don't know everything about oral sex. You know, I've sexed a lot of dicks in my time. Haven't ate a lot of pussy though. April says it's ate a couple here and there. Meow. So without further ado, Tayomi, we're really, really happy to have you on our show today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I am super excited to have another opportunity to just talk about sex and just, you know, kick some knowledge around.
We love that knowledge, especially when it's sex knowledge. Can you tell our listeners how you got to be where you are today in this field of being a coach and a teacher, et cetera?
It is such an amazing story. I actually came from a modeling background, and there was a point in time where my career started to kind of shift a little bit, and my father actually encouraged me to use my natural gift for writing, and he was like, I don't care what you write about, just use it. And at the time, blogging was like the rage, and so I sat down and thought, what could I write about every day and not get bored with? And I was like, oh, sex. I know a lot about sex. And so I started doing some research into the industry to see who were the popular educators out there. And I noticed that there weren't many Black educators at the time, especially young female writers. And I was 22 at the time. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to complain about it. I'm actually going to be a solution. And so I started my blog, glamerotica101.com, in 2011. And I started the YouTube channel that goes along with it, kind of as an experiment, because I noticed that people weren't actually showing how to make sex better, just kind of talking about it. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to start like putting up sex positions and how to get in them and how to kind of move in them without being like too over the top, but just like tasteful enough to, get the point across. And so those videos just started to get millions of hits. And I ended up doing a skit on Tosh.0 on Comedy Central. And then my career just kind of started to take off from there with a bunch of different collaborations and me contributing to different platforms like Ebony.com, Essence.com, BlackDoctor.org. And yeah, I've just been doing so much, just having my hands in a bunch of different things in the industry. I also work with the Exotica Expo, which is the largest event dedicated to love and sex in the US, and I'm their seminar coordinator. But they were the first people to actually give me a platform to speak when I first started my blog. So, you know, I really have my heart kind of rooted in that show because, you know, to be a Black woman and to be in this space is not necessarily an easy thing. But what I always kind of aimed at doing was just breaking down that stigma that I can't do this. And not only representing, you know, women and people who look like me, but anyone who just resonates with my voice. So it's been a beautiful journey. It's been 8 years, and I'm really happy with where my career is going and where just how I'm bringing the information out into the world is evolving.
We definitely love a sexpert on the show. And I mean, the amount of credit, like the cred you have, Tosh.0, if no one knows what that is, it's on Comedy Central, right?
Yes. Tosh is hilarious.
Like, it's so funny. He's funny.
He is really funny. And even before they had me on the show, like I was already watching the show. So when they hit me up, I was kind of scared because I was like, wait, is this web redemption? Because I don't want to be made fun of. Like, I'm literally out here just wanting people to have better sex. But they were like, no, we totally love what you do. And we wrote all these skits for you. And we're going to narrow them down to like 11 good ones. And then we want you to come and shoot it. So if you're cool with that, you know, we'll fly you out here. And I was like, yeah. And so we shot like 10 of them, and I think 3 or 4 of them aired on TV, and like they've just been running online and just everywhere. And so when people saw that, they were just like, who is this girl? And from there, like all kinds of people just started reaching out and just paying attention to me. And like Twitter is where I really thrive because it's microblogging and I have a great like voice and like rhythm with people on Twitter. And so, you know, I just started getting all types of like influencers and like even celebrities following me from that. And just, I've had so many viral videos that have like been spread across the internet ever since then. And that's really been influential in my success and my visibility.
So in your sexpert expertise, or I don't know if that's saying the same thing twice. However, with especially with oral sex, as Amy was saying in the opening, everyone is different and we both have our own techniques and tips. And I love hearing other folks talk about what they do because it's endless, right? It's like Pandora's box of things that you can do. So I wanted to know, are the tips the same that you provide for all bodies, genders, or are they different? And if possible, can you also talk about some of your top tips to be a badass giver? Cause I would love to hear some.
Oh, yes. Well, I will say, you know, yes, all bodies are different, especially mouths. You know, every mouth is not created equal. You know, some people have thinner lips, some people have fleshier lips, some people have wider mouths that, you know, more can fit into. Then there's, you know, the whole teeth situation. What if you have an overbite or an underbite? There's so many things to actually consider when giving advice about oral sex. So I don't like to approach every situation the same, especially if I'm going to be doing like a one-on-one session with someone. We have to like talk about these things because some people have really tight jaws where they can't really get their mouths open that wide.
And so I'm raising my hand right now. If you can see, that's me. I gotta click.
That I would give someone like that would be totally different from someone like myself who has a wide mouth, a large tongue that can really like, you know, take in more. And so I will say one of my top tips is examine before you begin, you know, if he has a hard on, because sometimes guys want to know that they make the request for you to go down on them and they may not be hard. Which it's, you know, a little more difficult to perform if they don't have the erection. But if he has an erection, do an examination. You know, it's like, how much of this can I fit in my mouth? You know, at what angle? Can I, you know, can I lay on my side and bring it in my mouth comfortably? Or will it hit the roof of my mouth? Or will it scrape? Like, there's kind of an analysis you should do before you even try to, like, you know, perform. Because you want to have, like, a method of attack. Not that you're attacking the dick, but
I like that method of attack. It's like a strategy, like a war plan. You're like, I'm going for it.
Yes, you have to have a plan because you kind of want to keep the momentum and, you know, the excitement going. And so I like to say, play with it. That's my other piece of advice. It's like when you're playing with it, you're also exploring to see, you know, okay, what parts are more sensitive. And, oh, okay, if this part is sensitive, then I can use my tongue to flick right here. And it's going to cause a, you know, a sensation to go through his body. And so another one, ask him what feels good. Because men have this idea already of the strokes that make them feel good, especially if they are men who are frequent receivers of fellatio. So if you ask him, then it takes the guessing out for you, and then it gives you more of a strategy. And then use your hands as much as possible. The thing is, the head of the penis is friction sensitive. So if you use your mouth and your tongue, it's going to give him some great sensations because that it's stimulated that way. But the shaft, which many people kind of miss over, is pressure sensitive. So you need the strength of your hands in combination with your mouth in order to be 100% stimulating and taking the pressure off of your mouth alone, especially if you have jaws that are tight or narrow. So there is this like conception out here in like the freak world that if you do it with hands, somehow you're a failure. Absolutely not. Using hands can cut down on how much your mouth has to work significantly. So those are like my top tips, because if you, that those tips can kind of work for any person with a penis, and it works for you too, because it gives you more insight on what to do. And then you're not like panicking.
Mm-hmm. And when people are, so for hand techniques, for how to use your hands on, we'll talk about penises right now. So is there, do you have specific techniques? I know this is audio, so we can't really show this, like describing how to use your hands, but you know, yes. For folks who are a little unaware of what that might look like, do you have any tips for them?
I do. So there's one I call like palming it. So basically you take the palm of your hand and you just place the head of the penis there, and then you close your hand down over it. And then you kind of make a little pocket. Now, this works best when it's well lubricated. So put, you know, as much lubricant in the palm of your hand as possible. And so when you like scoop up and kind of squeeze it in the palm of your hand, it's going to make a squishy sound like. That sound and just like that feeling in the palm of your hand, like the ridges in the middle of your hand, is going to be stimulating to the head, because again, it's friction sensitive. And so that's kind of like a massage you can do as well. You can go fast with it. You can go slow with it. But it's basically palming and massaging the head of the penis. And then another one is like a two-hand stroke, where you start at the base of the shaft and then you come up towards the head. And as you come up towards the head, you make your the hole around your hand smaller and smaller. So that way there's more pressure. But you don't want to do it to where when you get at the top, you're squeezing too hard. You just want it to be more pressure as you go towards the tip, because typically penises will go from being wider to more narrow, or some penises are, you know, just one straight, even column. All are created differently. And there are some penises where you may not be able to use your palm or the fullness of your hands, depending on how big they are. So you want to use fingers. You can use fingers to do the two-hand stroke or up. So it's just alternating hands. The left comes up and then the right comes up. And you can do it slow or you can do it fast, and you can keep doing that. And that's also a great sensation. And then at the top, you can kind of just like squeeze a little bit, going back into that palm squeeze, and then boom, it's like a great, like hand over hand massage and like stimulant to kind of get him closer towards his orgasm without you having to use your mouth too much.
Yeah. And lube is the key there. I mean, you can use saliva, but lube just keeps it nice and yes. Slick for a lot longer. And I think it's probably more pleasurable for the receiver.
Absolutely. Because you don't want that friction. I mean, some guys like it dry, but with that much hand movement, you definitely need lubrication so that he doesn't chafe and then it becomes uncomfortable for you. You know, coconut oil is good if you're not allergic to it, or any type of oil that like you would eat. So like olive oil or like sesame oil, almond oil.
Have you ever eaten Uber Lube? You have to try Uber Lube.
Yes, I have. Uber Lube is my favorite lube. Yes.
Oh, good. Yay, we love Uber Lube.
Milky.
I've never cooked with it, but I don't think
you're supposed to.
The steak might get all a little bit soggy if you cook.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't cook with Uber Lube.
Well, for everyone that tries an oil-based lube, just don't use it with condoms, because oil and condoms are not friends, but Uber Lube and condoms, they are very good friends. They work quite well.
Okay, y'all, time for a quick break. This podcast is made possible by some of our favorite things. Uber Lube is one of them. It's a luxurious lubricant great for all kinds of sex. It's less likely to throw off your pH than most other lubes. Seriously? There are hundreds of doctors who recommend Uber Lube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks who are experiencing dryness.
Amy, I know you love Uber Lube too. What do you love?
I love Uber Lube because it has no flavor, no scent, and it feels absolutely amazing on my body. In fact, I want it everywhere. I even use it in my hair for my hair frizzies, for massage, and it can also prevent chafing. Oh, and the bottle is gorgeous. It's discreet and looks like a beautiful cosmetic product, so you can leave it on your nightstand shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, go check out uberlube.com, use coupon code shamelesssex, and you get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com, code shamelesssex, and 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that helps you add more sexy things to your menu. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made tasteful and inspiring short videos to show you techniques on how to pleasure yourself or another vulva. Amy, tell us why you love OMGS.
I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it has changed their lives. Whether you're already having good orgasms and want to have even better orgasms, or perhaps you want to explore more variety in your playtime or even learn how to pleasure someone else's vulva, OMGS will have something for you. With two seasons, one all about internal and the other all about external techniques, it's better than any book or DVD that money can buy. To learn more, visit omgs.com/shameless, and our listeners get $5 off. That's omgs.com/shameless. You get $5 off. Go check it out now. And back to the show.
Okay, but what about the balls? Ooh. Balls.
So the balls are such a magical place that every man wants a woman or a person who's performing on them to go to, but people are so delicate with them. Like, oh my God, I don't want to hurt you. Listen, balls are resilient. All right. We see so many, like we've been programmed to see like violence against testicles where like, you know, guys get kicked in the balls or whatever. And so we think that it's a very sensitive area, but honestly, you can give them a little tug and they're going to be fine. You know, the testes also move inside of the scrotum sac. So, you know, you can kind of like juggle them around each other in the sac, and you can also like move them back into their pelvis. Like I recently discovered this, it's kind of cool. Like if he's lying on his back, they kind of just like recede into his pelvis and it's just sac, you know? So just kind of playing with them and even stretching out the scrotum and kind of massaging that gives a different sensation. And then you can kind of like pull your finger down towards the perineum and kind of stroke that a little bit, you know, not going too much towards the anus without consent, because some guys kind of get freaked out by that. But asking first, how do you like me to treat your balls? Mm. It's such a great qualifying question because it takes out the guessing work. And you want to make sure that he cleans his balls before you go down there, or you can do the favor for him and just get like a warm, like, you know, towel and just kind of wipe them down before you go down there, because, you know, they get kind of funky. But depending on how large your mouth is, depends on if you're going to be able to get the testicles in all the way. But if you can't, then you can just do like a little tea bagging motion where you get as much in as you can and just kind of like roll it around in your mouth, but like right on the insides of your lips. So essentially it's like you're giving his testicles a massage with your inner lips, mm-hmm. instead of trying to put them in your mouth and suck. And then for people who have wider mouths, of course, if you can fit the sac in, put it in and just kind of suck on it gently, give it a little tug and look at his body language. Because if he's like, oh yeah, do more of that, go a little harder, then you can start to suck, you know, add a little more pressure to the suction. So it's just all about using as much of your mouth as you can. And if you can't get them in your mouth, utilize your tongue. Even if you have a short tongue, tickling the testicles can be a different sensation that he's never felt. And it could actually feel good to him, especially if you tickle them underneath near his perineum. So, you know, just don't be afraid to get up in there. That's why I'm like, make sure you wash them before you go down there so you can have your whole face in it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just carry some wipes with you, some baby wipes. Be like, hey, don't mind if I just clean that up real quick, just in case. I'm a germaphobe, so that's what I would probably do.
I just thought of April, like when she's on an airplane and she's cleaning the tray and like her armrest, and I just picture her doing that with someone's balls.
Yeah.
Just trying to get the germs out of here, you know, so I can do my job.
Exactly.
And what about positions? Because we think about a lot of times you're on your knees or you're on top, and that's like the classic way, but there's so many different positions to perform oral, right?
There are, especially if a guy isn't, you know, shy about changing his legs position from, you know, flat to being inverted, you know, putting his legs in the air or having his knees bent and back, you know, so that his entire pelvis is exposed, or being on his knees and you're underneath, or him sitting on your face, you know, riding the north face, facing the headboard or the south face, you know, in like 68 while he's hovering over your face, standing up where you're, standing up and your head is off the edge of the bed and he's basically teabagging you, or standing up and you're on your knees and he's just kind of like dropping down into your mouth. There's so many different ways to do it. And it just really depends on comfort level and skill level, because some are more acrobatic than others. And it all depends on, again, how clean is that person, and, you know, how much do you want to know them for real? Like, you want to be all up in their stuff? Yes. Then
you want their asshole in your nose, yeah, and their asshole?
Might as well go all in.
Yeah, right.
And plus, if you do that hang your head off of the edge of the bed situation, you can actually open up your throat for deep throating, because I always have, my gag reflex is pretty intense. However, that kind of like hanging your head loose does open up your throat a little bit more to allow a little bit deeper penetration, at least in my experience.
Oh yeah, I've experienced that too. It's definitely a common technique that those of us who teach oral sex skills recommend. And, you know, it's just like sword eating, you know, just goes straight down.
Then it's gone. What would you say to folks who don't like performing oral sex or giving oral sex to their partners? What would be your advice for them?
Well, I would say examine the distaste, you know, and get down to the root of what it really is. If it is just a natural like aversion to, you know, oral sex, then that's fine, because that is a thing. You know, there are people out here who just do not have an attraction or a desire to perform certain sexual acts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do have a desire, but it's just like turning you off, then there's something deeper there. Maybe there was an experience that happened in the past, or, you know, something that was said to you, or some kind of programming you picked up along the way that just kind of cast some shame around the idea of performing oral sex. I know for me early on, I was like, I'm never going to do that. It's disgusting. He pees from there. Why would I put that in my mouth? You know, and then I had this whole good girl syndrome thing too. And, you know, I had to get over that. And then once I got over that, it was like, well, I just don't know what I'm doing. And so then I found a teacher, you know, a partner who was very generous to teach me the way. But I think if people could get to the root of what it really is, then they can start to kind of unpack that. And a lot of people run from that process because it's going to open up Pandora's box, and it's going to require that they revisit situations that may be uncomfortable. And so because it's basically unprocessed emotions, they're going to feel those emotions all over again. And, you know, when it comes to sex, people don't really think that there's going to be triggers or, you know, stuff like that, because it's like, oh, it's about pleasure and feeling good. But I mean, when you're working with this energy, that's what's going to happen. And so if there are blocks there, people should definitely look deeper.
I love what you said about looking deeper, for sure. And then also finding the right teacher or the right person to sort of be the receiver, right? For me, yeah. I think I was 14, I was hanging out with this older person, and he had forced me to give him a blowjob, and I was super traumatized. So I refused, head pushing and like, just like really forced me down there. So I made it like a point to never go down on anyone. I hadn't like given blowjobs because I was kind of terrified, and it was like, it kind of triggered me. And then, you know, I had all of this weird stuck stuff. It took someone that was really safe and really communicative for me to trust. And then, I had wonderful experiences. And now actually giving blowjobs and receiving oral in general is so much better. So it is kind of tapping into those blocks and then finding the right person. And if you are in a long-term relationship with someone and you're still triggered by previous events, maybe just talk to them about it and then try again, because it can be a really fun experience and also really pleasurable.
Yes, absolutely. I love that advice about, like, you know, talking to your partner about it and then trying again. I mean, no one's perfect. And all the sex stuff, there isn't like one source that is giving this comprehensive information about how to do it in a way that's pleasurable and respects people's boundaries and consent and everything. And it's like, maybe your partner is just sexually immature or just sexually ignorant. And, you know, you just got to educate them.
And forget the stories that you tell people about yourself or what you tell yourself, your own stories. Mine was, I won't give a blowjob because I had this traumatizing experience. And then I was like, okay, well, that I can move through that. So it is important to just redefine. We've talked about that so many times, Amy and I, here about redefining what you've been taught or relearning the things that sometimes you teach to yourself about yourself, which aren't necessarily the truth.
All right, the stories.
That's my soapbox for the day.
Yeah, and my soapbox will say, if you're a penis owner who is a head pusher or head holder, check in with the person before you take your hand and shove their head on your cock, please. Yes. Yeah, let's get that information for that. Because we're also dealing with a culture. This is a thing with like the Me Too movement and consent issues. We're dealing with a culture where I mean women are often socialized to caretake men's emotions, and it is showing up a lot in sexuality, where when something starts to happen, they may not be advocating for themselves, and there's other things that contribute to that too, you know, past sexual trauma, you know, how they grew up, etc., or their socioeconomical status. So many different things can actually play a role into how someone's ability to advocate for themselves. So just because someone might not be saying, hey, yeah, no, I don't love when you shove my head on your cock, they might not, and they may not be speaking up for it. So just, it never hurts to check in with someone, and you can make it sexy, right? Like, you can do a check in, like, hey, do you like when I shove your your mouth on my dick? And they're like, no. Or they're like, fuck yeah, it's really hot, keep doing that. So good. Yeah. Just a little side note. What would you say to the folks who have a really hard time orgasming from oral? I know all genders have this issue, all bodies, all penises, vulvas, and all the in-betweens. There's folks who say that, I don't really orgasm from oral. What would be your advice for them, as well as their givers that want to please them?
Well, you know, as we said, there's blocks. You know, when there is no type of like sensory awareness, or, you know, you're not moving deeper in your arousal scale when it comes to oral sex, typically there's some type of block there. And sometimes it may be that, you know, they're just experiencing partners that are not stimulating them in the way that they need to be stimulated. Maybe like for like women, for instance, some women use vibrators quite often. So their clitoris is like, you know, muscle memory. It gets used to a certain vibration or a certain sensation. And so when they're receiving oral sex, it's like this expectation of feeling that same vibe. But because they're not feeling that, it's difficult to climax. And then overall, for most people, it's this tension that they carry in their pelvises and in their entire body. So like not being relaxed enough to be able to trust a person with that. And typically if they're not relaxed, then there's something else going on. Maybe it's something from the past. Maybe it's something that's happened, you know, in the present. Sometimes performance anxiety gets in the way. Just that whole script of, I'm not going to come from this. I'm not going to come from this. This is pointless. Why are they going to go down anyway? You know, there's like so much that goes through a person's head when they don't really climax from oral, because I've definitely been there. And not just, you know, receiving, but giving as well. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of times there is just like this tension that's there, or this expectation of how their bodies are supposed to respond. And so if they're not experiencing the sensation that they need, sometimes they do get frustrated and, you know, do the head pushing, or, you know, they just decide to just stroke themselves because they know exactly what's going to work to get them off. And so there's a lot, I think, that is going on, not only in the mental body, but also in the physical body, which is so much tension in the pelvis and just an inability to relax and just trust.
So I'd imagine you would, one way to work with that one is to make sure that you feel, if the tension is there and you can't trust, is to make sure that you feel really safe with whomever you're performing oral sex on, or whoever's performing oral sex on you, so that you can, and maybe even outing that too. I know every time I out some stuff to lovers about my own blocks, that it is really helpful for me. And then also self-practice, right? So masturbation and things like that. You know, if your body is so used to a vibrator or two, or for penis owners, a certain type of touch, like fast and hard. And so it's really hard to get off to like the soft and gentle other hand or mouth, to practice with soft and gentle on yourself. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. So I'm also a certified tantric practitioner through the Institute of Authentic Tantra Education. And one of the things that we teach is orgasmic awareness practice, which basically shifts people's mindsets from an orgasmic-based experience to a pleasure-based experience. So education right now, like sex education, is so orgasm-focused, but we're not focused on the pleasure or the ride to get there. So when you train your body to not focus on the orgasm, not only can you ride your pleasure more, but you can also feel your point of climax. You will know exactly when you're going to get there. And so then you can also do certain breath techniques and pelvic techniques to extend that orgasm. And this is for male bodies too. You know, male bodies can be multi-orgasmic as well, but they have to train their bodies. Female bodies, you know, we already have that naturally. So really connecting with the body through concentrated breathing and, you know, a combination of different strokes is really essential to helping women connect to their orgasmic ability, and men too.
I feel like the breath is such a medicinal thing that we all have. No matter where you are in the world, you have your breath. And it sounds like this very wooey kind of far-fetched, oh yeah, all the meditative, you know, guru hippies have been using breath, but it really does work. So no matter who you are out there, you have access to the best tool available anywhere. And that's your breath coming from you.
Can I share something?
Nope. You can't. Nope.
Last night, tangent, but last night I was masturbating with a vibrator and I was like, I'm going to play around with some breath. And so I don't normally play with holding my breath, but I was like, I'm going to hold my breath for as long as I can while playing with the vibrator. And what happened is just an example. And I've had, you know, this is one way of playing with the breath, but I held my breath. And then I held it on the exhale. So my breath was completely out of my body while using the vibrator. Then as I started to inhale in, because naturally you're going to do a deep inhale back in, it just built up the beginning, this huge orgasm. So that when I exhale, it's like, boom. Anyways.
I know what that feels like. I've done that too.
It was awesome.
That's so incredible. That's on your own, your breath, what it can do. So absolutely. I think that is such great advice and a great story. I love it. I have a question about, you have this workshop that's called Ride Him Cowgirl.
Yes,
I'd love to hear more about that. Can you share with me and the listeners? I'm selfishly saying for me, but for our listeners too.
So with my YouTube channel, you know, I do teach people like the pleasure mechanics, you know, the how-tos of sex. And so one of the questions I kept getting from all of these women on the positions that were, you know, a woman on top was, you know, how do I do this though? I don't know what I'm doing. And so I noticed that there really isn't any curriculum written or any videos of, you know, anyone instructing women how to stroke a dick with their vaginas. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I know how to do this. I've been perfecting this. And I made a video and I put it out in, I believe it was 2014. And it has gone viral several times ever since. It's been remixed. It's been posted everywhere. I have a part one and a part two. And then I also have another video of different positions to, you know, make riding on top easier. And so in 2016, one of my friends who's, she has a business here in Chicago on the South Side called the Meow University. She provides sex education for adults. And she was like, you know what? I'm just going to book you for this class, girl. Let's do it. I had never taught this class in person. I had never even thought to do an in-person class. But basically what I developed is a system of movement that helps women increase their mobility in their hips. Mm-hmm. So that way they know how to move their hips properly to stroke. It's not riding. Riding is a euphemism. You're not riding anything. This is not the Pony Express, okay? This is, right, this is actually stroking dick. And I always tell women, this is not about him. This is about you. This is about you getting yours and you satisfying not only the fuck out of yourself, but him too. And this is your chance to be dominant. This is your chance to be the one in control. And so you have to know how to control those muscle groups that are engaged when you are in this position. And there are quite a few of them. And most of us, you know, we sit down all day on our butts or we're standing up and we don't get any real movement or stretching in. Even people who are yogis. And I mean, I've had women who like are in the gym 5 days a week. I've had yogis and, you know, all types of people come to my class and they're like, yeah, you know, I think I got this down. And then they leave my class sore because the muscle groups that we are engaging and strengthening are necessary for leverage in this position and for isolation of the hips. That is the key. Porn makes you believe that you got to bounce all your weight down on it. And that's the most dangerous thing you can do because it can send a man to the hospital and it can fracture his penis, essentially. That's like the most common reason why men go to the ER is fractured penises. So, you know, this has been an amazing journey because women from all over the world have been reaching out to me about this for like 5 years now. And it's a product that I'm like really branding and pushing out more because it's female focused, it's empowering, and it's all about empowering women to like deepen their sensuality and just get moving. Because when you move your pelvis too, you're turning up that sexual energy. And you can also start to remove blocks and just increase libido. It has so many amazing benefits.
If you don't have a theme song picked out yet, I think it should be Swerving on That Wood, swerving on that, you know.
You know what? Let me tell you why that's funny. Because I had a video that went viral in 2014, when Beyonce came out with her album Beyonce and she got Drunk in Love. Everybody kept making these memes about what they thought filling the tub up halfway and riding it like my surfboard. Yeah. Meant.
Oh,
I was like, how come no one knows what this means? I do. I've done this. And so I made a tutorial on how to do it. And it got put up on World Star Hip Hop and it went viral. I mean, Wendy Williams even mentioned it on her show. And I was just like, whoa.
You're a boss. That's awesome. The fact that people didn't know what it means, I'm like, really? Come on. But way to capitalize on that, though, because that song is amazing.
Yes, it is. And the video is called Professional Bathtub Surfer. And
yes.
People were like dragging me because I had on a shower cap. And I'm like, listen, I'm a black woman. What are you talking about? I'm not getting my hair wet for this. This is, you know, okay. Realistic. I'm like, I keep it 100. And I'm like, that's the thing about me. It's like, I want people to know that I'm just like you. I'm down to earth. I'm just someone who's dedicated to the science of sex and dedicated to teaching others about it and empowering people about it too.
Speaking of which, because I know that there's going to be some listeners out there that want to work or find you, can you let our listeners know how they can find you and work with you? Or if you work with folks, one-on-ones, we would love to learn how to get a hold of you.
Yes. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Glamazon Tyomi. And you can follow me on Instagram. That's at real Glamazon Taomi, and follow my blog, glamerotica101.com. And on my Instagram, if you click the link in my bio, there is a link for you to join my mailing list. So if you want to receive updates about classes that are happening, live events, and also get some information on how to work with me one-on-one, then you definitely want to click that link in my bio and join my mailing list. And yeah, looking forward to chatting with you, because all of my pages are interactive. You know, it's like my personal social media became my business social media, because I'm like my brand's ambassador. So I'm very personable. We have conversations all the time, and you know, I'm all inclusive. And you know, I love when people come and they give their feedback and they're also giving their expertise, because I always say we are all experts of ourselves. And if not, then hey, someone else on this page can teach you something about yourself that you didn't know. And yeah, we have a good time. So join. Let's go.
You are absolutely incredible. And I feel so fortunate we were able to get you on our show. So thank you for taking the time and talking to us and all of our listeners and about the Diaka and all the fun things that we can do. With
you ladies are amazing. Like, this has been one of the best interviews I've had this year. So thank you.
Yay. Well, we feel the same about you. You're incredible. And thank you for the work that you're doing from the bottom of my heart. And I'm sure from Amy's, I don't like to speak for her, but she's right next to me and she's okay.
The bottom of my vulva.
Yeah. It's so important. So thank you. And we hope to see you again soon. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in to Shameless Sex and being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. We love you so much. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.